Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping all the meat and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You have Matt. You got Jake. And we are going to be talking about some pro wrestling stuff today. So much going on because it's WrestleMania week, but here on our Wednesday show, we talk about AEW, and we like to cover what's been going on in the world of Dynamite and Collision. And fellas, we got a lot to talk about because we got a lot of recording to do for like the other stuff. So we're just going to move ahead. All right.
It's a meaty week of content.
It is a meaty week. Meat week. It's meat week. Oh, man, because not only do we have AEW stuff, but we have TNA Unbreakable, which, by the way, our Thursday TNA show is going to be dropping. So make sure you check that out, where we're going to break down the card and what we're expecting for from Unbreakable going into Rebellion. And then we have WrestleMania. So before we move forward here real fast, and I save myself a little bit of time as I look for the graphics for our fans who send us comments, and I have gotten it because I'm a freaking genius at live production. Let's go ahead and show the fans what you guys have been saying out there, because Booking Like a Mark comes in hot and says, watching Dynasty, I learned that mothers can get referees to restart matches if their sons get screwed. Imagine if Mama Rhodes pointed out Solo Sikoa's interference at WrestleMania 39. Cody could have finished the story a year earlier, and I could have had my moment there at WrestleMania 39, watching him win. Booking Like a Mark is right.
History could have been changed. I'm bringing my mom with me to every wrestling show.
I think
from
you should.
Here on out.
I don't see a reason.
Even though
why
I'm not wrestling half the time,
not me.
She could influence history.
Why wouldn't you bring your mom to your wrestling shows, Jake? If your hypothetical wrestling show. You think she'll throw you under the bus?
Dead.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
No.
Wow. I didn't know that.
We need a wasted graphic on this on the final edit for GB.
Yeah, scan, get to work. That's fair. I would say that if I had to bring a relative to a wrestling show, I know I could bring my brother. I can at very least rely on him to not fuck it up for me. That's basically the only thing that I can lean on. Outside of that, any of my extended family, you can't bring any Puerto Rican to any big gathering. We're going to find a way to fuck it up one way or another. It's just what we do. We're loud
or
and abrasive.
Turn into a barbecue, and that'll be exciting.
Or we'll fry everything.
Great.
Or we'll fry everything. And
that also sounds great.
You may
Nothing
think so. And then the arteries and the gas. Oh, the gas. And I'm not talking about like gasoline. I'm talking about farting. It's crazy. Let us move forward and dive in to our narrative notes, because we got a lot of movement with the Owen Hart tournament this week, and some awesome results. Chris Statlander defeated Thunder Rosa. Jamie Hayter defeated Billy Starks. That match was crazy. That sets up a clash between those two. And we also know that tonight on Dynamite, Athena is going to be fighting Mercedes Moné in Boston. So this is going to be a freaking insane matchup. The question I have here is, I like the Athena Mercedes Moné meeting up in a tournament, but man, it feels odd that it's in the semifinals, but I also like it. And I don't know how to rationalize that, but maybe you guys could make some sense out of it.
My only thought about that, because it does seem against all logic. And I know like different companies and different writers and stuff have their take, but this one you would think would be kind of a no-brainer, which makes me think there's more afoot than meets the eye, right? This is clearly seems like a premature, so it makes me think whether it's my money and my gut would say, because I correct me if I'm wrong, does Athena still have at least a singles match winning streak going on for like years, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, she's the forever champion, so I would assume she hasn't been singles pinned. Yeah, maybe Billy
like
Starks.
I can't tell. Well, my thought is that Athena wins this, it's not too involved. And then Mercedes costs her the next match. Mm. And it sets
that
up
was,
those
that
two.
That was what I was thinking would actually happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. because it would be weird to just end if there was that undefeated, just end to end that in a semifinal on.
And there haven't been any shenanigans in this tournament at all. Like there's been, it's been pretty clean.
That would
clean.
Be a good spot for shenanigans.
Yeah.
Would be in a final. Is this, wait, this sets up the final?
Semifinal. This sets up the final. So it would be the winner of this and the winner of Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter. So
then potentially then you have another babyface's win in the final being kind of tainted by Mercedes. If she does interfere, it costs Athena the final, which is not always great, but as far as the story goes, my money would be on something like that to then set up Mercedes and, Athena for potentially all in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude. They're going to get like a couple minutes and it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like, good.
Please go give us like 8-9 minutes of like, of just getting cooking. And then something wild happens and she just takes the win. And so we're like left wanting more.
And I saw people online talking about this. It needs to be the main event. I don't think it should be the opening match. I think it does need to be the main event. I agree with the idea that like, it'll be a big opening match to start off, but you know, you're in Boston, like there's just got to be something to it. Kind of like what you guys are saying. Then again, though, if you do get a straight up match, it's also, which we're not going to get. But if we were to get a straight up match, who do you think would win in that instance? I would probably say that you got to go with Mercedes in that situation. Like she would be the one to move forward because someone's got to move forward in this one way or another. Right. So are we saying that it is going to be shenanigans? It's going to be Mercedes moving forward or shenanigans and Athena moves forward?
No shenanigans. Athena moves on because that's what upsets Mercedes enough to then cost her the final. Mm. That's my thought.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that is a really good one. All right. Well, let's continue forward here. Jake, anything you wanted to add on to
that? I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right.
With Matthew.
Because I know you were going to come in hot with a good point. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to make sure you got your space.
Well, and then Matt took it. Matt, you know, he was right there ready
heartbreak.
To swoop in after his mic.
Well, I had already said it once, but the microphone didn't pick it up.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and we'll move past some of this here because Young Bucks, you know, made their return. It was a weird-ish promo to them talking about wanting to help Moxley, but also it was like they wanted to stop Swerve. I took it more as like them clearly having an issue with Swerve, since Swerve is the one that like, you know, pretty much contributed to the downfall of the Elite after Blood and Guts. We'll see where the story goes. There's not really a lot to hang on it right now. Anything you guys want to add? But we'll just wait and see. For me right now,
just pretty much. I thought the explanation was good, not great. I liked the little hang of the hat on also not just screwing Swerve, but it was like, hey, we did this for Hangman.
Yeah,
we did it for the Hangman.
Yeah,
we
for the hanger,
for the cowboy, you know what I mean? So like, and that's obviously gonna throw a wrinkle into this evolving Hangman character, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, Jake. You think we could be seeing maybe the Young Bucks, Hangman versus Swerve down the line?
I think that's very, very possible, and maybe where we're leading. I mean, because you know they're coming back saying that they did it for Hangman, but now Hangman's like having Swerve and Nana basically apologize for how things went down, and that's given him complex feelings, and he's getting upset about that, and he doesn't know what to think. And I think eventually I think that's where we're headed as a team up.
I mean, you guys have seen romantic comedies, right? Or not even romantic comedies, romance films.
Yeah,
I mean, Hangman is going through that period I'm not in love with you.
Yeah,
I'm not in love with you, right? No, I didn't help him. I'm not helping Swerve. I'm not doing anything like that. No. And then it's going to be harder and harder to stop that.
Yeah, I am.
To stop his feelings.
He's so, I do want to.
Can't fight this feeling anymore.
I want to take a second.
And his old hometown friends, the Young Bucks, and people from his bigoted hometown are like, no, we got your back. Like, we're going to get rid of that. And meanwhile, in secret, he loves him. And you know what I mean? Like that.
We're
going to
get rid of that guy who burns homes down, you know? Because, I mean, honestly, he burned someone's home down. It's kind of a bad thing, you know?
He's an arsonist.
Yeah, he's a bit of an arsonist, guys.
But as the victim said, he knew he deserved it.
Yeah, well, perhaps that's why he didn't press charges, because why are you just going to let someone burn your home down and then go unscathed while he just sips a nice scotch out in front of your flaming home?
I do want to commend them, though. AEW's really been knocking out of the park with the production. It was great. Like that, like the opening of Dynamite, the way they laid out some of the big moments in Collision, they've been really leveling up. I've been mentioning it like a lot, but I've just been paying attention to it because I feel like I now watch so much wrestling that these are the things that I'm noticing more of now. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice. It's nice to see everyone's leveling up. Like, it's not just like one. I know I mentioned this before too, but it's not just like WWE. It's everyone. Like, you get the idea that like people are just trying to take more risks with live production, because you can do some fun stuff with it. You know, as a person whose entire fucking career was just done in live production, it's a fun space to play in. Continuing forward to the men's Owen Hart Foundation quarterfinal, Takeshita defeated Brody King. Awesome match, by the way. And then we also got, actually that one's the weird one, right? Because that one's like, well, we also have Hangman, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But that one has like some, because isn't like two of the matches happening at Double or Nothing or something like that? I don't remember.
Possibly.
Yeah, something.
I thought the finals. The finals are happening.
Was it just the finals? Okay.
I thought so.
Yeah, but I will say this has been a fun one to follow. Don't really. Let me find the bracket. As a matter of fact, I don't really know where things are going to go with this, because with Takeshita winning, that puts him in the crosshairs with Ospreay. So it just kind of feels like we're just running Will Ospreay versus Don Callis family 2.0 or 3.0 again. Is kind of what this bracket feels like. Am I crazy?
Yeah, no, but like it's revisiting a former.
Yeah,
and there he goes. Nope. Still going.
No, I know what I did. I know what
okay,
I did.
Okay.
He knows what he did now. It was his foot pedal. I had a feeling.
Push to talk that's my mute. Anyway. Push to mute.
But yes, it is revisiting a story again.
But I don't think you have to go deep on it. It's just like, oh, reigniting this rivalry from last year or whatever, but it's just gonna be a banger match.
Well, that means, you know, like it does look like Will Ospreay, right? Heading to fight, you know, Moxley at All In, more than likely. So it's gonna be not bad. The matches on what's funny is that the men's, which has been a good tournament, this time around it's like good, but I'm way more interested in the women's tournament. The women's tournament, I think, has had just way better matches, because of like they've just had so much time, you know, like, and it's been great. Like the Thunder Rosa Chris Statlander match, with Tony Storm on commentary, which was fucking hilarious, by the way.
Fantastic, of course.
It was so funny.
It's less predictable too. I think a lot of these matches are like, I could go either way, whereas the men have a few of those, but I think the men is a little bit more of a clear path.
I could see all four of these women winning.
I
could see any of them,
and I can't say the same for the men, which kind of does suck, you know. Moving forward though, we finally heard from FTR, Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood. They shared why they betrayed young Adam Copeland in cold blood the way that he did, claiming that Copeland was selfish and that he's held them back. But you know what? I gotta say, I liked it. I like the promo and I like the justification, because he came back, he brought FTR into the loop. They didn't win anything. FTR kind of just got sidelined. It kind of took like a thing that was happening in real life, which was FTR is not really doing anything, and then turned it into a storyline, which I thought was quite clever.
I thought it worked. I think it works as a motive. You know what I mean?
Does it work to get Christian and Edge back together?
I mean, I'm curious. How
that is, The biggest leap is Christian. I mean, we don't know. He's got to make quite a
turnaround.
He's
been off TV for a while.
He has been.
He's had some issues with his kids. You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
fatherhood is complicated.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's especially when they're not yours.
Yeah. Right. I mean, oh God, your what do they call that? Your bonus family. Your bonus family.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's the father that stepped. No, he's the father that stepped up.
Oh.
Okay. He's not the step.
That's truly, truly a man of his children.
Damn right.
Yeah. So I don't really know how you get there, but I'm down to be taken for a ride. So that's kind of where I'm at with the FTR thing. But I like that. I thought the promo was good. Thought it was
when
exactly
you fall out of favor with your fake kids, you fall into the arms of your fake brother. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're going with Edge and Christian back together.
Yeah.
A family reunion.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I would like it if they went. I know the FTR are the bad guys here, but it would be hilarious to see Edge and Christian go back to like being douchebag heel tag team.
Oh yeah.
You know, and for the benefit of Flash Photography, and you know, like
they could probably do that, and they would be baby faces though. They would get a baby face reaction to bring that back. So
that would be the opposite of the reaction that we were looking for there. Yeah. And then of course moving on, last point on the narrative notes. Excuse me, is the Trios titles are on the line tonight, but there's a little bit of a twist because unfortunately Pat got injured in the last match with Swerve Strickland. You kind of saw it happen. It was really unfortunate, but hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. But that means Jon Moxley is the Trios champion, which I just want to point out how hypocritical all of this is. Because do you guys remember the Bang Bang Gang situation at all? Okay. They were the Trios champions,
yep.
Right? And then Juice got hurt.
Got hurt.
So then they were like, well, no, Jay White will just take the title. And then Christopher Daniels said, no, that's not how it works. The Freebird rule doesn't work for the Trios titles. So you gotta win it. So they had a match on Collision, and then they won the titles back, and then you know whatever. But then they just went and did it again. The hypocrisy. Jon Moxley has him in his pocket. It is unbelievable.
I mean, the Elite are back, and aren't they still EVPs? There's, you know what I mean. They've been trying to make what do they call it? Peace olive branches, peace offerings to the Death Riders. So maybe they just in my head canon, they just acquiesced and gave Moxley what he wanted.
I want them. I would love like if they found a way to down the line, like tie that back, kind of like when the Guns came back and just made a random challenge to the Hurt Syndicate because they lost the tag titles and never got a chance to like challenge for them again. And then they lost again. You know, maybe they do something like that. That would be pretty fun. But what do you guys think is going to happen, though? Do you think that the Ops are going to win the Trios titles tonight? Or does Jon Moxley, leading the Death Riders now, win? Because before, I would have told you, Ops are winning. Now, not so convinced.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm still convinced Death Riders are running strong until Texas.
Yeah. Jake, same for you.
I kind of feel the same way too. Yeah, I'm not gonna bet against the team that just keeps winning.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fair.
I don't feel like
the prevailing winds just feel like
right.
It's going. Yeah, it's going that way. That's the only thing. Do I want it? Do I think it's the most interesting or whatever? Nick, no. But I that's where my gut tells me it's going downstream towards.
If I may, for a second, my friends. Some fantasy booking. Just real quick. Here's the thing, right? We're seeing what's going on with the Owen. We're seeing Will Ospreay's pretty much on a pathway to the top, right? And I think we're all excited to see what a Will Ospreay, you know, AEW championship reign could look like, right? But you gotta start to dismantle the Death Riders. But you need to find a way to get that process going. And I think what helps to get that process going is them losing the Trios titles tonight to the Ops, because the ops are like, you know, this isn't like a random trios team. Like, this was a group that's been, you know, rolling together for a while. So, like, there's good justification that, like, they could win. But what I think could happen potentially is that in the process of winning the trios titles, Samoa Joe pins John Moxley. He wins the trios titles. Samoa Joe then makes a claim for the AEW World Championship at Double or Nothing, loses there, gets us to All In. That's and basically Joe can't win. He can't get the job done, but the next generation, Will Ospreay, can. You know what I mean? Like something like that. I don't know. That's where I feel like you got this time frame now. Like, do something.
Well, Mox,
you know,
basically said that everybody needs to band together. This roster doesn't want this enough.
Yeah.
And basically saying, you know, you all need to come together to defeat me. kind of thing, you know, so,
like the Avengers, I mean, you know, like,
yes, I mean, it's literally what they seem to be. Yeah.
Damn, dude. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's going to be, I think, though, that will be a wild, wild matchup, because just trios in general, Samoa Joe match, John Moxley match. Oh, yeah. Sign me the hell up. All about that shit. There is still one last thing that's going to happen on Dynamite that we are very, very interested in finding out about. And that is, who is the wild card?
Who is the third man?
Who is the third man?
Or the second man in this matchup.
Yeah.
One of two.
Mostly the second man.
Yeah.
Who is it? That is the question that has been on everyone's mind. There have been some theories online. Fantasy booking with one, a former TNA world champion that is signed or rumored to sign. I don't know. I don't follow dirt sheet stuff. Where are you guys landing on this? Because there's a lot of directions that they can go in narratively, but also to get a moment. So I don't know which way the wind blows here. Matt, you want to start?
Yeah. So, I mean, mine was... maybe it was just because the last wild card they had was Mike Bailey.
Mm.
So then makes me think that the next wild card, not that I'm drawing them not clever, but then the next wild card would be Josh Alexander. Cause that has been the rumor mill. And we've been waiting to see where he was going to pop up. Cause undoubtedly he's popping up somewhere since leaving TNA.
Yeah.
One of the best athletes and wrestlers on the planet. It's one of those things where, whereas for the Mike Bailey match, he got put in as a wild card into a match where, no offense, it was pretty clear he would win and continue on in that. In this case, going up against Hangman, unless there's some shenanigans to cost Hangman, which is like, there's no good out. If it is a big name and a big deal like a Josh Alexander, there's no good out. Because either you beat him on his debut, because Hangman needs to be kind of moving on for story purposes and stuff. Or B, you have somebody screw Hangman, and then you have a bit, you know, big name's first
debut.
A first win is tainted with a distraction or a shenanigans.
True.
So
unless he's coming in as a heel and he doesn't care,
which is also fine.
Unless he's, yep. Because he left TNA as a heel.
He left TNA
as
a heel, right.
Yeah.
He would get a pop for sure on showing up, but They could. Maybe he's aligned with, I don't know if it would be the Bucks, or I don't know who's out
to. The question is, does Josh at this point, Alexander, is he going to, will people like latch on to him if he comes in as a heel? Like, I don't know. I will say, like, I'm not sure if that like helps Josh
know.
Alexander. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. That's but I do agree
with
it.
If he turns heel on Hangman, I don't know. I feel like that would be a, like.
True.
A big moment.
Now, what about Swerve Strickland?
That was another thought that I had too. Yeah.
Okay. Where do you think, Jake, that serves the story here? Because it's like, I mean, you heard Hangman say like, he better not be the wild card. He better not screw me over, or whatever, right. Something to that effect.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there a situation where maybe Swerve's too, he's still injured a little bit from his fight with Mox and either can't really finish the match, and Hangman is like, feels bad that he has to put down an injured animal, so to speak, or does Swerve just give him the win as an apology? I don't know. I don't know.
Or riddle me this, Batman. Matt's
third thing. Yeah.
Is there a world where, again, I call back to the Young Bucks promo. Is there a world where the wild card is either Matt or Nick Jackson? And they offer to lay down for Hangman.
Ooh.
And he's like, what the hell? Ooh. Like, get up. No, like, what the hell is this? Like, no, buddy, we're here. We want you to go win. Win the tournament, man. You're our boy. You're our friend. And he has, this is one of those moments where he's got to be like, what? Like, this is, it's an easy win. And I mean, how much of the heel Hangman is still inside there? You know, what is he going to take the easy win, or does he take the one of the Young Bucks head off? Or, you know,
yeah,
it could be an interesting narrative choice.
Man, now here's the thing. There's also,
that would get a lot of heat if it was one of the Young Bucks, for sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a third name I want to bring into the table here.
A third man?
A third man. But ended up being the fourth man, Jack Perry.
Ah, yeah.
A returning Jack Perry, who is obviously aligned with the Young Bucks. But see, here's the thing that I want to happen with Jack Perry is I want him to come back as, like, I want him to do the thing that Frankie Kazarian tried to do, which was be the Elite Hunter. And I want him to kind of do something similar, because we saw him kind of have that whole, like, nothing matters, life is miserable, blah, 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 like his Gen Z gimmick. So, like, you know, I think that's just what it is, man. You have a conversation with any Gen Z kid, they're like, not any, but like a good chunk of them, and none of them have any emotional ties to anything in this world. So, like, I do wonder if, like, he comes back in this vengeful role, because he was left high and dry when the Young Bucks bailed. You know, Okada didn't have his back. Like, he was gone. Daniel Garcia fucked him up and took his belt. And then that was it. So that's also a possibility for individual who shows up. But I really like that Young Bucks one, man. I think that would be, I think that would be really cool. Also, something I want to bring to the attention is I was looking at the bracket here, and you got Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshita, right? And Kyle Fletcher right here. But when I think about this matchup and who advances forward, because someone has to advance forward to face Kyle Fletcher, what is the one that makes sense in that situation, right? And it's Hangman. Hangman makes sense, because then the story becomes Hangman and Will Ospreay are fighting for AEW.
For the soul of the company.
Yeah, right. Pretty much for the soul of the company, that whole gimmick. I think that could be a pretty cool way to kind of like, and then you have that final happen at Double or Nothing. Where they, like,
shake hands and it's like, all right, let's, you know.
Yeah. But then the Elite try and screw him over, because the Elite are clear.
And then who comes down to help?
Swerve Strickland.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. But ultimately leading to a presumed, well, though, GB, you've still hung on to the idea that it might be Hangman at all in.
I think Hangman, Texas. Hangman, Texas.
It's just
the cowboy shit. Like, you, it's so easy. It's so easy. You know, like, I know it feels like Will Ospreay, because he's pretty much unstoppable win loss record wise.
He's in his John Marston arc, and Arthur Morgan arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. This wanting to reform Outlaw, this bad guy who's like, I don't know if I got it in me anymore.
It's got to end.
I want to fight for something better. Yeah.
And it's got to end with an AEW original beating John Moxley. I just feel good about that. What?
Sorry, I was just trying to see if
Ivan Jake,
Hangman had at some point like lived in Texas or anything like that. He's from Virginia.
No. Yeah, I know that, but it's the cowboy gimmick shit.
I know, but this is what I was. Apparently, his uncle co-created the Virginia tourist slogan, Virginia is for lovers.
That seems
interesting.
Oddly appropriate for Hangman.
Just
The man who loves plants and yells at them in an affectionate, kind way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Virginia's for lovers. But yeah, that's why I say, like, it just kind of makes sense. You know, it just fits. It's like a better story, better moment. Hangman gets the second title reign that, like, he, you know, because his first one got sullied by CM Punk, let's be honest. You know?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
I you know, he lost the belt. When he lost the belt, a lot of people could say that was when AEW started to hit, you know, a little bit of a downward slope on its momentum. And, well, you know, I mean, he had CM Punk there, but it was like, you know, all the stuff that happened since then, I felt like since Hangman losing his belt, it'd be nice to see the guy get the moment, you know?
Yeah, but now, look, I was like straight 100 on Ospreay for a long time. And I know you've brought it up before, but now that we're getting to this point in the proceedings, just I think I'm with you. I think I'm with you.
Makes sense. And someone's got to
fits more. Yeah.
And someone's got to move forward and face Kyle Fletcher, right? So it's either going to be a good guy, Josh Alexander, who gets a sullied win over Hangman Adam Page, or bad guy Josh Alexander fighting Kyle Fletcher in his second match, which is also bizarre.
Or someone random, or yeah, Swerve, I don't know.
Or Swerve, you know, if for whatever reason, but I don't see that. Hangman makes the most sense. And hell, I wouldn't even be shocked if Will Ospreay lost to Konosuke. Like, I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Well, with some, yeah, I could see that too.
Both men, former international champions. Konosuke's been on a tear lately. Every single match he's done has been like a squash, pretty much. Like, they clearly have a lot of stock in the guy. So, you know, and they should, because fucking dude's a freaking nature athlete. So, like, you know, I think makes sense. We'll see. It's exciting. Good episode of Dynamite coming up tonight. People got to look out for that. We got Gates of Agony are going to be going up against the Hurt Syndicate for the tag titles. They had a really good squash match. Like, that just, like, was dominant. It looked really awesome, the shit that they were doing. I hope they get a little bit more time and play, because they're really threatening, like, individuals. Like, what is it? Oh, my God. I'm forgetting. Bishop Khan. That dude has abs on abs.
And oh, yeah, it's like, he's yoked, as they say.
And physically, it doesn't seem possible. So, yeah. we'll see. Oh, there was one more person that a fan, I saw someone bring up on Reddit for the wild card. Corbin. Baron Corbin was one of the names, because I guess
Bishop Dyer. I don't see it.
I don't see it either, but that would be funny.
It's also, I've talked to him, and I know what he wants to do, and like where he kind of wants to go. And anything can change, and money speaks very loudly. So I haven't talked to him in weeks now, but like, it could be. It could also be a one-off. It doesn't have to be somebody who's newly signed. It could, AEW does do occasional, like, special. Could be Matt Cardona.
Yeah, it could be Matt Cardona. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He just shows up and does these matches.
It also could be something to promote Forbidden Door, which is around the corner. So,
could be.
You know, like, who knows? We'll see. But it is going to be exciting nonetheless. That moves us on to our final segment of the week. Of Wednesday. We have plenty more for the week. A lot more of the week. We're putting in a lot of content here at Mania Week. But it is, of course, our Reebok 24/7 Champion of the week, where we, of course, share the person, place, thing. You know, it doesn't matter if it's wrestling or not. Just brought us joy this week, because, you know, spread some joy. We need it. Good God. Okay. Does anyone want to go first, or I can go first? Up to you guys.
I'll go first.
Go for it.
All right. So this past weekend. Was the Masters tournament.
Oh, yeah.
The golf tournament. And I'm not like a big golf fan. I actually love playing the PGA Tour 2K golf game. It's awesome. It just came out a couple months ago. I've already put almost 100 hours into it. It's a lot of fun. But occasionally, I'll watch and follow golf if it's like one of the bigger tournaments or whatever. Well, the story going into this Masters was, can Rory McIlroy finish his story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rory McIlroy has won all three of the other major events except for the Masters. One time he had it. He was in the lead going into the back nine, and then he blew it in 2011. Blew it.
Yeah.
He's been as close as second since then. And then finally, he's in the lead going into Sunday. He's in the lead by four strokes going into the back nine, and he starts to blow it again. He has a putt on the 18th from like 6 feet away. If he nails this thing, he wins the Masters. If not, he goes to a one-hole playoff with a guy who played out of his mind earlier that day.
Good God.
To come up and tie him. He misses the putt.
Damn.
He misses the putt.
Of course he did.
They go to a one-hole playoff, and his second shot is one of the most beautiful shots he's ever hit in the game of golf. He puts it like 6 feet from the pin. The other guy, Justin Rose, misses his putt, finishes with a par, and Rory McIlroy finally nails the putt and becomes Masters champion and gets his green jacket. Now, that photo right there.
Yeah, I picked this photo for a reason. I know what you're going to say. Go for it, Jake.
Because it was taken by Ken Griffey Jr.
Yes. Ken Griffey Jr. fucking iconic is all of this?
Ken Griffey Jr. was there as a professional photographer. Both him and Randy Johnson are both like professional photographers now. The Hall of Fame pitcher, Randy Johnson, they're pro photo. This is what they do. This is what they do in their free time. And he took that incredible picture. And there's another one from a side profile that he took that's even better. And Ken Griffey Jr. took that photo. But I'm giving my 24/7 championship to Rory McIlroy for finishing his story. Exactly what we need going into WrestleMania weekend.
And it was cool. The shot of him with the jacket.
It was awesome.
Going into the locker room, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That was all really cool.
But I actually watched like the whole last round. I couldn't tell you the last time I ever did that. But I watched to see, is Rory going to do it? And when he started dropping strokes, I was like, oh, my God, he's going to blow it again. I was like, you can't. I was cheering for him so hard.
Yeah.
Missing that putt was his solo Sokoa.
WrestleMania 39. Yeah.
It's 40 where he tried to do it again. Luckily, John Cena coming to save the day moment.
That's exactly what it was. Man. And then that second shot in the playoff was the gong of Undertaker.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Congrats, Rory McIlroy, for finishing
his story. Good.
Really
That's
cool stuff.
Sports are great when there's great stories for great people involved. You got to love it.
Matt, you wanna take a stab or yeah?
Sure. Yeah. Mine's pretty short and sweet. Look, after years and years of grinding, and the independent scene, you know, he came through TNA. Now he is with AEW. My 24/7 champion of the week is not the man, but it's a certain part of the man, because after winning his share of the $400,000 tag team match, Mike Bailey can afford shoes. So my 24/7 champion are Mike Bailey's feet. Finally, they get to be covered for the first time in forever. Shout out to Anna and Elsa. But I am so happy for his feet, for his wife to not have to see his feet.
Yeah.
And
I'm happy for Mark Briscoe, who's divesting his winnings and reinvesting it into the market. Hopefully he's making smart decisions, given recent.
Well, I thought he was just going to add another acre to the chicken farm.
Could have been. That whole promo was so
funny. Another couple acres.
I think it would be hilarious if Speedball, like, either became a sneakerhead or just like kept going to like Payless BOGO sales and buying so many shoes.
Yeah.
Which I did.
Apparently as kind of a gimmick, he did after that Dynamite last week, did one of his live streams and was shopping for shoes.
That's amazing. So
he had the 100,000.
That's so funny. Yeah, I used to run through those Payless BOGO sneakers when I was a social worker back in the day.
Yeah.
Those things, I mean, let me tell you, when the rubber starts hitting the pavement, that's when you know you're living, okay? That's when you know. My 24/7 champion of the week. You know, I think we celebrated some highs, right? You know, Rory McIlroy finishing his story, achieving something incredible. Speedball Mike Bailey also achieving something incredible, purchasing footwear, just truly mind-blowing stuff.
Same level.
But mine takes a different turn. And now, look, if anyone follows me on Instagram, you know I'm a quite political person, but this one's just too good for me not to enjoy for a little bit. You see, because we have an idiot for a vice president who likes to have sex with couches. Oh, not God. True, but, you know, I like to say it anyway because he sucks as a human being. And he decided this week to use his strong widow arms to pick up this the college football trophy and then proceeded to drop it like a tit. Just an absolute shameful. Look at this. Look at this pathetic little man. Look at just too good, bro. Look at
and it couldn't have happened to a better team in the Ohio State Buckeyes.
It really couldn't have. So good.
I'm so glad.
Just hold the top part.
Yeah, let's look at it again real fast there. Look at him. Failure of a human.
He completely biffs it.
Yeah, just completely. And everyone's like, oh, it's, you know, not everyone, but, you know, like certain idiots are like, oh, it was two pieces. You could clearly tell. Trophies aren't supposed to do that, idiots. They're not supposed to do that, okay? I've carried a lot of trophies, all right, professionally, to give them to people after they win tournaments and achieving things. They're not supposed to break. You know, maybe learn how to handle something better next time. Or you could just get the fuck out of government. Anyway, so that is it.
Hey, I mean, there's a little bit of irony that, once again, the second he touches something, it breaks.
Hey, so. It's crazy. I will say, though, I've really much, because I mean, I'm definitely not nominating JD Vance. I just want to laugh at him. But
yes,
I'm down to nominate Mike Bailey's feet.
Yeah, you are.
I just think, how right funny would it be? What are our nominations? Mike Bailey's
a
feet.
A man achieves his lifelong dream, dude buys shoes.
Or a guy who gets shoes.
I'm going with the feet.
I'm going with Bailey. Feet.
Fine, Mike Bailey.
You beat Rory McIlroy. Hell yeah.
What a win for Mike Bailey, guys.
Rory chokes it again.
He wins and loses big time in the same week.
Wow. He got a green jacket. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for us this week. We thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. But don't forget that we have our TNA episode, which is going to be coming out tomorrow, highlighting everything that's going on in Unbreakable. Also, I'm going to be there, and I can't wait. I'm going to get to watch Unbreakable live. I got to get a ticket or something like that. Matt, did you get me? I don't know. We'll figure it out later. I'll be present for that. But one way or another, I'm going to be in Vegas, so I'm really excited because it's WrestleMania week, and I'm pumped. So we're going to go have a good time, me and a couple friends of mine. And I'll be posting on the Rebooked. This is me posting, by the way. I'll be posting on the Rebooked social media account. Probably doing like I'm gonna try and walk around and I'm gonna ask people just happy questions about pro wrestling. I think that's what I'm gonna go and do.
I like it.
I'm gonna go and say, who's your favorite wrestler? See what they say. What's your favorite match ever? Favorite t-shirt? You know, things like that. Bring some joy.
Yeah.
And take some homemade business cards that you just like cut index cards in half and write listen to Rebooked.
Yeah,
like napkins. I'm actually gonna write it on napkins and then just give it out to people and just be like, check out rebookpod.com. That's what I'm gonna do. All right, everyone, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you tune in for our Thursday show, and don't forget we have a special a Friday, maybe Saturday episode. Got to figure that out for WWE for WrestleMania, because it's a big card and there's a lot to talk about. We'll see you guys then. Take care, everyone. Peace.